الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us and enable us to make shukr to Him at all the different levels that shukr is supposed to be made. Yes, there are different levels of shukr. One is a person says it with his tongue. That's called shukr lisani, with your tongue. You say, thank you, or you say, oh Allah, I thank you, shukr to you, oh Allah. Then the other one is shukr qalbi, that you make shukr with your heart. In a person's heart, he really felt a great amount of relief and comfort and appreciation for whatever benefit he has enjoyed, and it is in his heart. So from his heart he makes shukr. And that is why sometimes it is so intense in the heart that a person says to Allah, I don't have the words to thank you. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have now made shukr. And the third one is shukri amali. That is shukr by action. That whatever blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which we are enjoying, which we did not even deserve, which we did not even ask for, but He gave us because He knew is good for us. So we use those in amal, in fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah. And that is the highest form of shukr. That we do actions and use the blessings of Allah Ta'ala in His obedience. But that is not the topic, that is just a reminder every week, as we know, with regard to us enjoying the blessings of Allah. And we must be reminded about it, inshaAllah. Respected friends and brothers, we had a good long weekend also, mashaAllah. Not for everyone, obviously, but for those who are in certain institutions, right from Wednesday, Freedom Day, Thursday was Freedom Day, Monday was 1st of May, and in between all other holidays came. So it was a good weekend for a lot of people. So the Monday was called 1st of May, and it is an internationally celebrated day and occasion. For those who don't know, it's 1st of May, it's called Workers' Day. A lot of people don't know what the long weekends and the public holidays are about. They just see on the calendar is something red. So they start planning and making their bookings and that. So that was basically, as we know, it is done internationally to remind and to create a consciousness with regard to the rights of the workers. And after that, the rest of the year goes. But in Islam, we always remind ourselves that there's no one specific day for fulfilling the rights of the people. Might be that they will come about, but more important than that is for us to ensure that we are fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, wherever they are supposed to be fulfilled. That is what we are supposed to keep in mind. And when we look at the rights, or rather the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in relation to the rights of the workers, then my respected friends and brothers, there is ample and sufficient examples of his beautiful lifestyle that we can follow, which actually will ensure that we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala in our obligation to the servants of Allah. So on Workers' Day, for example, they might be addressing aspects relating to the worker and more on the material benefits and the material aspects of workers as such, and maybe the other additional benefits, the perks and that might come about. Somewhere might be to talk about working conditions, etc., with regard to the worker, which are definitely important also. In Islam, we have been taught a lot of things. There are a lot of ahadith and ayat of the Quran that give us an indication on this particular aspect. But my respected friends and brothers, there is another aspect beyond that also in Islam, and that is insaniyat. Insaniyat means that as human beings, we act like human beings, and we treat other people also like human beings. And that is what we have to ask ourselves in as far as our workers are concerned. What is our interaction with them? And how do we conduct ourselves with those that Allah Ta'ala has put under us We will say those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated to us. It is the divine way and system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has placed some people over the others. That is a thing we can't run away from. Allah ta'ala has given virtue to some over others. In every aspect of the world we can see it. In land, there are some places that are much more virtuous. In days, in months, and so with regard to people also. There are those whom Allah has given virtue in terms of knowledge, in terms of piety. And going on to material things, Allah has given some people. Allahu faddala ba'dakum ala ba'din fir rizq. Allahu faddala. That's what faddala means. Allah has given virtue to some over others in matters of wealth. So likewise, when it comes in ranks and in this aspect of worker and employer, or worker and employer, or employer and employee, it is part of the divine system of Allah Ta'ala for the continuous and proper running and existence of this world. Allah has made it that there are people that are interdependent. There are people who cannot do without others. So where you have, for example, a boss, you have the subject under him. You have the employer, you have the employee. You have someone who is responsible in the top position. You have those that are the others at the bottom for who the responsibility has to be taken. And so forth. It is just the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has not made everyone bosses. And Allah ta'ala has not made everyone workers. Allah has not made everyone rich. And Allah has not made everyone poor. So all these ranks and darajat, as we refer to them, are found in this part of the divine system and the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, whichever position we find ourselves in, there is a role which we have to play and conduct ourselves. So when we're speaking of our workers, for example, now one is the material things, there is another aspect on, we can say, the psychological aspect of it, that how do we interact and conduct ourselves towards those that are beneath us, beneath not in a derogatory way, but beneath in terms of us having a position and they not having that position. It doesn't mean that we are much more superior in the eyes of Allah because we are, for example, the managing director, or we are the boss and that fellow is behind, below us. No. In the eyes of Allah, that's another whole criteria. أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Those who have the most amount of piety. Here we are talking in terms of the ranks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And those are ranks given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There, my respected friends and brothers, is where we are supposed to reflect and ask ourselves that what was the way of my beloved Nabi, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What were his teachings in this regard? So many times we, you know, are interacting. And you must remember that these positions, they rotate. Sometimes a fellow was a normal sweeper in one factory or wherever it might be. And one day he became the boss. If he starts giving the history, he'll say, I started here as a cleaner. I used to pack as a packer and today I am the boss. And it can go the other way around also. Those people who are right on the top, then finally they get demoted or they cannot keep up their job, but for the sake of keeping and maintaining the person's respect, sometimes he's still maintained in the place where he is working, but at a lower rank. So, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah says, these are the days, or these are the ranks that we rotate between people. So, when we are at the top, we must ask ourselves, how did I feel when I was at the bottom? And when I was treated by my superiors in whichever way. And now, when we are at the bottom, then we always would like to be treated with regard to our own izzat, our own honor, our own self-respect. And that is a very, very important part of insaniyat, of human dealings, of human conduct. We have to ask ourselves that when we are addressing our workers, one is whatever we are paying him, good salary, giving him benefits, whatever that is in his place, that is what he is earning, that's what his sweat is worth, after a mutual discussion, obviously. But have I addressed him like an insan or a lesser insan, thinking that because he is now my worker, I can talk to him like how I want to, or like an animal? Sometimes the way people bark at their workers, that they do not even bark at their dogs and their cats with that kind of aggression and with that kind of harshness. So the test, my respected friends, for us as the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when we hold that position, how do we then conduct ourselves? Do we think that we are now better, we are superior? Does arrogance overtake us? And we now start looking down on people, which on its own is a different discussion, arrogance and that. Then, my respected friends and brothers, if you look at the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that apart, side by side with the, this is very important, side by side with the rights of the workers, they have been mentioned made of the rights of the slaves. Now we must remember slavery, and the noise started at the back, slavery and workers is two different things. There is a distinct line between the two. Now there is no longer any slaves. Slavery has been done away with, but it was something that was even before Islam, long before Islam. And when the Islamic deen came about, then we find there are so many teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we all sitting in this masjid must be able to give an answer. Because what happens is, when the disbelievers want to condemn and criticize Islam, they say, you people's religion had, your religion had slaves, your prophet had slaves, you people practice slavery, and we know slavery is not something that is a good thing, it's a bad thing. But we must have the answer that slavery was something that came down and it passed through Islam, but the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are so numerous that you will find that he had encouraged and advocated the doing away of slavery. You look at all the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is while the slave is there, how to treat the slave. And after that, how there are so many actions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us with regard to freeing of the slave. He says, you know, the Quran itself says, فَكُّ رَقَبَةً, setting free of the slaves. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on so many occasions said that the penalty for a person who has committed a certain crime is he must feed so many people or he must set a slave free. What were all that setting a slave free about? It was to do away and abolish slavery. The whole discussion on its own, my brothers, we can't go into it now. And what we are saying is that Islam did not advocate, Islam did not initiate, Islam came and fulfilled the rights, what were the rights of the slave, and Islam worked towards taking it away. Then of course it became an international thing where slavery was abolished. Not really actually. There is still slavery in very sophisticated forms nowadays. People are enslaved all the time, whether it's to the banking industry, whether it's through loans and the IMF and the IDB and all those different things, you know, loans and debts of countries, sometimes through embargoes and sometimes through sanctions and sometimes through political and military power. And you find some fellows just cannot do anything because they are scared somebody else got something. So slavery is taking place, but in another way. So those who want to condemn us, we must be aware of how to answer this. Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, a lot of the things, because a slave is also a subject of someone above him, similar to a worker who is under someone, we have to keep in mind what the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in this regard. And there is so much of emphasis, not only in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about malakat aymanukum, those that your right hand possesses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, like I mentioned, whole lot of teachings on how to treat them and how to free them to such an extent that, just one point on slavery before we move on to the workers, is that on his deathbed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two things of concern. He said, As-salatu wa ma malakat aymanu. As-salat, safeguard your namaz. Before he's leaving this dunya, he's telling us, worry about your salah. And the second thing is, be mindful of the rights of your slaves. So because the rights of the slaves are very similar to those that are our subjects in the form of workers, we take a lot of lessons from there. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, if you neglect the rights of those that are under you, you are going to face a answering by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reckoning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he warned us, he encouraged us, he educated us, and from time to time we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his own action praised people when they did certain things. with regard to their workers. And there are lots of teachings on that. We as Muslimin must know that we are under a test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala has kept someone under us, and in a way, even if it's a worker, he has come there by the command of Allah. Allah has granted him certain talents and certain skills which we need. Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ. It's a divine thing. Allah says, we have given ranks to some over the others. لَيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. So that some may take service from the others. So that some may make others their servants. But this word servant is not derogatory. You can get the most highly skilled person to come and work in your company, for example. And he has got such knowledge of computer networking or whatever it might be, which nobody else has got. He's our servant. He's working for us. We're paying him. But that also doesn't mean because he's a servant, so he's someone lower than us. This is just an example. Sometimes the word servant is used and looked in a very negative connotation. So it's not like that, my respected friends and brothers. So nevertheless, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has repeatedly mentioned regarding, and this is when we be careful, oppression of those that are under us. Those that are under us. Oppression takes different forms. Cruelty towards those that are under us. Disrespect, what we mentioned, psychological abuse of those that are under us, where we use such derogatory and humiliating terms against them. Or against our workers we are talking about, whatever remarks we want to pass, the tone that we use, all these things are such things, and people justify it. They use such harsh words that this guy here, if you don't talk to him like that, he won't do it better. This guy has been doing it all the way, all the time like that. So we must distinguish between a fellow making mistakes or a person deliberately being guilty of neglect and dereliction of duties. It's two different things. So if a person is making mistakes, then don't we also make mistakes? And if a person makes one mistake, how many mistakes do we make? People make a lot of mistakes. It is one famous hadith we have heard. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by a sahabi, that when our workers, our servants make mistakes, or when our slaves make mistakes, in whichever context you have to look at it, how many times must we overlook and forgive? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer. The person repeated the question, Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 70 times. Can you imagine how much of tolerance he has taught us, and how much we are supposed to have towards them? And if there are mistakes, it doesn't give us the right to start running somebody down in the manner that we take their self-esteem and we take their izzat and so forth away. So we have to be very careful. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also had people working for him. Never ever beat his servants. And never ever beat a woman. That means the weaker gender amongst us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never beat a woman. So maybe it was a worker woman. And obviously, talking about beating wives, that's not even an option. That is something that's not even acceptable in any way, my respected friends and brothers. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever did a thing like that. And then he has given the very famous hadith, which we have heard repeatedly here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that those that are under you, your servants or your slaves, you must give them to eat what you're eating. So mashallah, we're having a good meal at home, whether it's biryani or whether it's roast or whatever it might be. And then when it's time for them to go, you say, you can just take here, make your tea, and there's bread there. This is a repeated complaint that we receive. For the whole year, bread and tea. And what we did, we cooked in the house. And mashallah, the aroma was there. We even asked them to help us with certain of the cooking and that. People ask their workers. And they do it. And they see the food being prepared. In Ramadan, they see the savour is being prepared and the beautiful aroma that goes out from there. And then we say you must have tea and you must have bread. Sometimes we say if we are a bit more in a generous mood, so you can take some eggs also from the fridge. So that also will sort your this thing out. So my respected friends and brothers, that is not what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Likewise, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala used to give them to dress exactly what he is dressing. So somebody asked Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, how come you give them to dress what you are dressing? He says, that's what my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that we must give them to dress what we are dressing. Now the fellows who are wearing all those designer clothes, all our beautiful shoes and clothes and that. I don't know the names of most of them because in the kurta we don't have diesel and whatever kurtas you get. So what we're saying is that those who are wearing those smart things, the names, you know it. How many of us really did practice on that? And even if not at that level, but decent clothing, how many of us gave them to wear? So that is one of the beautiful teachings. And this is something we cite when we talk to those who want to attack Islam and want to attack the Prophet of Islam when it comes to servants and slavery and so forth. Likewise, my respected friends and brothers, we spoke about beating. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once saw a Sahabi beating his slave. And that fellow was crying and begging for mercy. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Mas'ud." And he says, "When I turn around, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." He says, "You are beating the slave of yours. Allah has got much more power over you than that you have got over the slave. Because you know, you're the boss. So we think we've got all the control because he is desperately in need of us. And we have to take work from him and we'll handle him. We'll hit him, beat him up and make him work again tomorrow. And we'll swear him and we'll ask him again to do work for us." So how does this thing work? It doesn't work right. So this person immediately set free the slave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Had you not set the slave free, the fire would have touched your face." That is how it is. So my brothers, 2-3 weeks ago we spoke about a'mal and deeds, ensuring that we take good deeds and go from here, ensuring that our deeds are sincere. Keep in mind that if our deeds are lot, and if we wronged our workers and those under us, then all that is going to go there to them. Just remember, one wrong we have done to anybody with financial loss or with our tongue or whatever it might be, then we are going to be buried with a lot of namazes and umrahs and hajj and tilawat and zikr. But we were cruel and harsh and hard and we were doing down those that were under us. Then they will meet us there on top and then we'll see all being passed on to them. So that's the last point. That's why we can have Workers' Day and 1st of May or whatever it might be. Think, my respected friends and brothers, what answer am I going to give to my Allah on the day of Qiyamah when it comes to how I spoke to and how I treated those who Allah has placed under me? Amen.